This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yes, it is 4:06, 48 degrees, and we do have Mike Winters in studio.
Yeah, I'm sitting right here in this chair right next to Dale here.
Anything new, Mike?
New, yes. It's raining outside and cold, and that's about as new as I can get today.
And apparently the president's a free man.
Well, yeah, right. Oh, I didn't know what you were leading on to there. Yeah, I know. Okay.
That's about as far as we can go on
yeah,
this show.
Yeah, that's it. We got to talk about roses now for the next hour. So, thank you for listening. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call 673-4464. Ask me any kind of question you want, and I'll give you any kind of answer you want. How's that? That's a deal. And as long as we keep it kind of on plants and trees and shrubs and lawns, we're good to go. Well, we'd start talking political. We got a different show.
And Kyle would be in here.
Kyle would be in here, and I'd be kicked off the air. You know?
Me too.
Yeah, and Dale have to go out the door with me. Oh, golly. But we'd have fun.
That's for sure. That is for sure.
Well, you know, here it is, early February. The groundhog, I don't know what he was thinking about, but we're back into the rainy period a little bit. And supposedly, according to the local phone call. All right, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Mike, David here. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
What do we have out there that makes a good ground cover that grows fast?
Good ground cover that grows fast. What do you want to achieve? Is it like on a flat area or a slope area or what?
It's on a flat area. It's on a flat area. It's in between my driveway and the neighbor's fence. I want to put some rock down there, but I also want to add some ground cover so it doesn't look so ugly.
Okay, what's the length and the width?
The length would be about 30 feet. Width would be about 6 feet or so.
6 feet or so? Well, one thing you could put in there would be there are ground cover type junipers that stay low to the ground. They're tough. They're hardy. They'll survive in that kind of situation without very much care at all. Okay. There are cotoneasters, which are an evergreen ground cover, white flowers, red berries, real tough, real hardy.
How quickly do they grow?
Well,
both grow pretty quickly, or are they slow growing?
No, the cotoneaster are I'd say medium, the juniper would be on the slow side, and then there's kinnikinick, which is kind of a medium. It's also a small ground cover, evergreen. All these are evergreens I'm telling you about, too. And okay. Those are probably the best three tough ones that you wouldn't have to mess with once they're established. Oh, is it sunny or shady?
Before, it's shady.
Shady. Total?
Pretty much, except for late in the afternoon, sun peaks out.
Okay. Well, I think then the cotoneaster or the kinnikinick would be your best bet in that instance.
I know you've spoken in the past about spacing plants enough so that you allow them to grow, but not too close, so you overcrowd them.
Right.
So how do you? I mean, obviously, you don't want to have them too sparse, correct? You want to make
But in a 30-foot in a 30-foot length, I would probably put them no closer than 5 feet apart.
Okay.
Yeah, and since it's what'd you say, 6 feet wide?
About 6 feet wide, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and all you need is a single row right down the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that opens up the lines, and the number is
673-4464.
There you go.
That's the only number I know. I keep calling it, but nobody ever answers. I don't know what's going on. Okay. So, on this early February day, you know, February, I like February because you know that It's starting to turn a little bit. The rain's not as heavy, and of course it was 26 at my house the other morning.
Oh,
26? What is this? This is February. The groundhog must be dead. He must have frozen to death as soon as he popped his head out of the hole. But I didn't see him. But at any rate, it's bumping up there a little bit, and yeah, we might have some weird front come in, but we're on the way up now. It's mm-hmm. There's more daylight. Thank goodness it's more daylight. I hated driving around at 4:30 in the dark, you know, when pouring
and
down.
And it's dark.
Yeah, dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, still, a little wet and cool, but I already see some shrubs and some trees getting buds, and they're beginning to grow. It's already happening. I mean, if you pay attention to this kind of thing, obviously you're listening to the show, so you probably do pay attention to those kinds of things. And I got roses there at the nursery. They're budding up. Their new buds are about 3/4 inch long, and they're coming out. There are some things that are flowering and beginning to flower. There's signs of life, and I'm going, yeah.
There's hope.
There is hope. And in another month, they'll be, full of leaves and flowers, and it'll continue that way till, mid-July, and we get a couple of those heat waves rolling in. I'm the guy who would like to have cold could be like 40 and hot could be like 80. How's
80?
That? Yeah, that's a good
range.
That's
a good, yeah.
I can still breathe and live and work in that kind of an atmosphere.
Yeah.
But
function.
And still function and think. but those plants, like I say, they're budding up, so they must know something I don't know, which is, if we had like a week of the 70 degree weather, sometimes in February, we'll get 4, 5, 6
mm-hmm.
days that are,
that's
wow.
True.
And then we'll get hammered with another storm there for another week. But still, things are starting to pop, and that's good. And my question is, are we going to have an early spring, or is it going to be, kind of iffy, a little bit of cold, a little bit of rain, a little bit of sun? But, as you may remember, our wet, heavy snow from last February, that was very destructive, and that came at the end of February last year,
mm-hmm.
as I recall.
It did.
So that's why I'm not getting really psyched up about this at this point. I just don't want another snow event like that. It's just like, come on, man, we're just getting started, and boom.
No.
And and the snow itself wasn't that bad. It was the moisture content of the snow that caused so much damage and heartache and, power outages and all that kind of stuff.
Trees and all that stuff. Wow.
Yeah, man. But like I said, I see the roses are pushing new growth all over the county, actually. I've seen them in people's yards and some places where they're a little bit protected.
Do you want to take a phone call?
Oh, another one. My gosh.
Before we get into the roses.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Hi there. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi. I need to know, when would be the best time to treat for moss? I've got it all over everything. And I know the products for treatment are kind of spendy, and I don't want to waste them by doing it at the wrong time. So I'd appreciate your advice.
Well, is it like on sidewalks or in the lawn, or where is it located?
Small amounts in bare dirt areas, a lot on sidewalks and stuff, and on the roof.
Yeah. Well, the roof moss remover is different from the moss remover that you would apply to implanted areas, so you got to make sure you get the right kind. I would say when you've got a good clear day, or maybe two clear days in a row, you could go ahead and apply it this time of year. But it's not a one-time thing, and it's not quick. It takes a while. I've done some lawns that were inundated with moss, and put it on there, and a week later it didn't look like I had done anything, and so another week went by, and then the moss started to go from green to dull yellow to finally brown, and then got black, and but that maybe 4 weeks, 5 weeks, something like that. It wasn't quick. Whereas I think the stuff, the moss on the roof, it's a different formula. You spray it on, and it usually works a little bit quicker because it's more exposed to sunlight and a little bit more warmth. So I would, like I say, wait for this rainy spell to get over, and you could probably begin to apply it sometime this month if we had, like I say, a few good days to where it wouldn't wash off or wash away or be diluted. And then you're going to have to repeat the process maybe twice more before you get a good kill.
Okay. Is temperature a factor?
Yeah, temperature is a factor, and you know, in freezing conditions, you know, you get down there in the 30s, it may or may not work. But the warmer it gets, then the moss becomes more active, and if the material that kills the moss is activated more in warmth, and you can get a quicker relief from the moss in that respect.
Okay. All right, that clears me up.
And you can go to either the co-op, Farmers Co-op, or even Home Depot or Lowe's. You know, they all have basically the same kinds. I think the Farmers Co-op would have, and Coastal probably has it too, but there will be several types, and you want to read the directions, excuse me, and see how they differ, or if they do differ, and then just choose what you like and just start the process.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot for the advice.
You're sure welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, I get activated in warmth, too.
Yeah, it's kind of a natural thing for living things, and moss is a living thing.
Yeah.
I tell you, that some of that stuff drives me nuts. You know, and what we've done in lawns when it finally turns black, we'll just go in there with a heavy garden rake and rake it out.
Yeah.
And if it's in a lawn, you reseed it. And, you know, when the grass is growing and the moss very seldom comes back. And if it does, you can treat it during the year with a granular or even a spray type material. They have it granular where you like a fertilizer you can put on, or they have it in a spray bottle where you can spray it directly. So I don't know which one works better. I haven't done
trial and error. I guess.
Yeah. And like I say, in the shade it thrives, whereas in the sunlight I think you get a better kill ratio for what you apply, and just because it's sunnier and a little bit warmer and it cooks it. I'm not sure what the process
fries
is.
Fries those suckers.
Yeah, that's what I would hope. Oh,
light my fire, baby.
Yeah, get rid of my moss. Oh, boy. But roses, I'm going back to roses now. And, you know, roses are, like I say, really tough shrubs. I've already said that 356 times on this show. But, you know, sometimes you got to repeat yourself for people to get it. So, and you can't kill them, really. Once they're established, you can't really kill a rose. I guess you could do it by overwatering. But digging them up is the best way to kill them if you don't like them. But roses, you know, they'll grow anywhere, and they've been around for a very long time. And I was doing some research, and one of my books says that roses have been around for 30 million years. I have a hard time believing that. I personally don't believe that number. But, you know, back a few thousand years, they were cultivated rose gardens all over, and believe it or not, in the Middle East. In desert regions, so and they had their rose gardens. For instance, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon had rose gardens in its design, and the Greeks and the Romans, they planted roses throughout the entire Roman Empire. So it was the flower of the time, if you will.
I think the White House still has one.
Oh yeah, they got a really really nice rose garden. And then you go into the Dark Ages. What was that like? 1200 or something like that, or 1100 or 1000.
The Dark Ages,
whenever that, I didn't get the years on that. But when they came along, the church was a big a big deal in those days, kind of like the ruling hierarchy, if you will. And they thought roses, this was the church's stance, they thought roses was a pagan emblem. Yeah. And
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have laughed.
No, but that's what they thought at that time. But they kept them alive in the monastery gardens. And I don't know why they did that, but there was no explanation for that. But it took a few years for roses to be looked upon as a good plant. Hmm. You know, when they found out it wasn't an evil plant, it was actually pretty, yeah. I guess they, you know, let up and said, yeah, I guess we can.
We can go along with that.
Yeah, we can go along with the roses, yes.
So can we take a break?
Oh, no, okay.
Go ahead.
No, go on. Take right. your break.
We'll be back with more pagan roses.
I won't tell you what color they are.
On Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, kind of covering coast-to-coast roses today, aren't we?
Yeah. I don't have any sound, though.
Well, that...
There are some.
Okay.
You got to warm that thing up before the sound comes through?
We'll switch headphones during the break.
Oh, yeah, right. You always give me these dogs.
I don't.
I think you find them out in the street and bring them in here and say, hey, Mark, here's your headphones.
No, they're my second backup.
I get the second backups. Yeah. Anyway, I was talking about ancient rose gardens and progressing into the reign of Empress Josephine. Roses were back in favor. Old Josephine had a rose garden of over 250 varieties at her palace. And so she started a fad, really, across Europe. And before long, there were roses in everyone's gardens. I mean, wow, look at that. If the queen or the empress, well, she was an empress, can have that beautiful rose garden. I know, I'm just wondering, where in the world she got 250 different kinds of roses back in whatever year that was? It was in... way long time ago. But she did. But
did Napoleon have any? I don't know.
Well, Napoleon that was brought her roses, probably from all his conquering wars and stuff. Yeah. But in present day America, for instance, there are over 50 million families who have at least one rose bush in their landscapes.
That's true.
Think about that. Yeah. And you know, some of them have, you know, lots more than one. But
whether it's domestic or wild.
Yeah, right. But we're talking domestic in this case.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, folks just like the flowers. They're beautiful. They're colorful. Mm-hmm. They're fragrant. They're you know, they bloom all summer. And, you know, there's a lot of bouquets, and when you got a lot of bouquets, your wife is happy. You know, hey, honey, I got you another bouquet. Yeah, you took that out of the driveway, didn't you?
Keeping it trimmed.
Yeah, but no other flowering shrub produces a constant display of these beautiful flowers from early spring to late fall, and sometimes even into early winter. And I've explained how I cut my roses down and they were blooming on Christmas, you know, with the snow on them, for crying out loud. But into late fall, which would be, say, mid-November, they can still be blooming. The ones we have at the nursery, where we do the landscape out front by the highway and all that, I've got those mini roses out there. And then puppies bloom till December. They start blooming early, like, 1st of March, they'll have blooms. And they're small roses and they're a small shrub because they're a mini. Mm-hmm. And we take cuttings off them every year, so they're kind of rounded and all that. But when they start blooming, they do not quit. It's just like, man, it's
marathon.
Always colorful. Always, and there's no hassle. We might water them We might water them once a week in the hot part of the summer. That's
right,
it.
Right.
And, you know, fertilize them once or twice a year. I don't spend a lot of time because, you know, I don't have the time to spend time at my own place.
You know, like you say, you really can't kill them unless
No, you can't. You can't. You got to run over them with a logging truck before they, you know.
Burn them.
Yeah, burn them. Exactly. Burn them. But, you know, roses, you know, they come in all sizes and shapes, from the miniatures that I was just talking about to the ones that climb, it'll climb up your building and over your roof and all that kind of stuff.
On a trestle or whatever.
On a trestle, they don't even need a trestle. They just grab
they
the
just
side.
Do it.
They'll grab the side of the house and just climb up that puppy. And if there's a crack, they'll stick a leaf in there to hold themselves up to get up to the next
level. They're clever little things, aren't they?
Yeah. But you can have a trellis and train them, or arches, you know, for an entryway. That you got a like nice arch there, and you put a rose on either side of the arch, and they grow up and, you know, make a beautiful entryway.
Yeah.
And that's kind of I don't see much of that anymore in the landscape world, but on some of the older homes that were built in the early 1900s around here.
Like Laurelwood.
Yeah, Laurelwood and up on the hill back here. I'm not going to say not military, but
Lincoln.
Yeah, up in that above downtown. You see that kind of thing in some of those older homes, and they're very attractive, very very nice. And like I say, they bloom all summer. They're colorful. They're fragrant, and make a real pretty entryway.
Kind of back in the day when people cared about their landscaping, so to speak.
Well, yeah, were they? Most of them did it themselves.
Yeah.
And there weren't probably too many landscape contractors around. I mean, there's probably one or two somewhere.
Yeah.
But they were, they were called gardeners or something like that. And they would probably own a little nursery and help people out in their neighborhood, that kind of thing.
There was always a joke about the gardener.
Don't. This is a family show. but the trellises and the arches, and you can have rose trees. And the mini roses, like I was talking about earlier, they average about 2x2, maybe 2x3. And then there's some smaller ones that are called a carpet rose, which are actually a ground cover type. They might get up 6 inches, 8 inches tall, and they spread and like a ground cover. But I don't have, once in a while I get some of those in just to see, and I don't know, I haven't had really good success with them.
Oh.
I don't know why. I'm treating them wrong some way or another. Maybe I'm being too nice to them. But when you get those mini roses, the flowers, you know, you get a nice big rose, the long stem hybrid tea rose, and there's the ones that make the beautiful bouquets and stuff, the long stems and everything else. But those mini roses, there might be 200 flowers on one small shrub.
Wow.
Yeah. And there might be, you know, 15 on a big tall rose.
Tall, yeah.
That they make the, but that's okay. These mini roses, they're good for borders. They're good for put them in pots on your deck or your front porch. They do well. Like I say,
nothing's going to go through there.
Nothing hurts them, man. And those hybrid tea roses, like I said, they're the large flowers on the long stems that make the great Valentine's gifts, which is next week, by the way. And the more flowers you cut,
right.
That's right. Next Friday, a week from Friday. but they have these long stems, and they make a great show when they're planted in mass, like in your front yard or the back corner of your backyard, and you want a big display of color. Those hybrid teas are the taller ones you'll see, and then to really make it super snazzy, put the mini roses down there at the base of them, and then you've got layers of roses, all the way up, and you have them like in your main entryway. They look good, mixed colors. Some people like all reds, or some like contrasting colors, red, orange, purple, that kind of thing, white, and that really makes a cool display. So it's,
and they really don't have to really take care of them, so to speak.
Yeah, they're really, people think, well, roses are hard. No, they're not.
No.
The more you ignore them,
the better
they
off.
Do. Yeah, it seems like that. Oh, gosh. And another thing, you could plant some in your vegetable gardens. like some of the mini roses or any kind of rose, and you'll attract more bees to pollinate your vegetables.
Oh.
And you're gonna and let's say you got a few fruit trees there.
Yeah.
And you got your vegetable garden. Well, you need pollinators like bees. Not wasps and yellow jackets, but honeybees to come in and pollinate. Well, if you got more flowers there to attract pollinators, that's when they're the happiest, and a lot of them come and they hang out, and that's when you get your biggest gardens, your biggest produce.
Your corn's not going to come up like a
no,
rose.
Your corn's not going to be colored. It'll be yellow. It won't be bright purple. But... but at any rate, you can have a real bumper crop for that season. And if you need some shade on your patio, you got a patio or a deck, you know, maybe you've got a, it's not a roof, but you've got some 2x whatevers over the top, just kind of, you know,
rafter type things.
Well, you put some climbing roses up in there, and they'll climb up on the sides, and they can cover it. You can do the same thing with other vines, but then the roses are there. Why not? Hey, it's good. And if you want a they make a great, like your neighbor's fence is ugly, you're tired of looking at it, go ahead and plant a row of roses there, cover up that fence.
Yeah.
And the neighbor can look over and say, boy, those beautiful roses here, yep, they sure are. They cover up the fence well, Bob.
Yeah. He's not going to try anything because he doesn't want to get poked.
Right. But if you want some ideas of what some of this stuff looks like, of course you'll see them at the various. Nurseries, box stores, and stuff like that. But, you know, over at the VA hospital, they got a nice rose garden over there.
Do they?
If you go in on the Garden Valley Boulevard side, you go in there, and before you get to the building, so half a block away on the right-hand side, there's a rose garden.
I'll have to take a look. Yeah. My daughter works over there. I got
really?
Yeah.
Well,
so I'll have to take a look at.
Yeah. And they're sticks right now, but, you know, in another month or so, when they'll start getting leaves. Another month after that, they'll be getting flowers. And it's very attractive, and they take care of it. It's not super fancy or anything like that, but it's neat. And then, but it gives a person ideas of what's available and what colors are available and how they can be planted and placed and how
arranged.
How they look. And then for a real, if you're the adventurous type and like to drive to Portland, you can go to the Rose Gardens. It's an international rose garden there by the zoo. You go in where the Portland Zoo is, and then they got the road goes all the way up to the top of the hill there, and you're overlooking, there's downtown Portland down there, and they've got rows and rows and rows of roses. And it's kind of an experimental thing. And then it's got all kinds of roses. And you walk, and it's on grass in between. You know, it's very nice. I've only been there once. But, and then the Japanese gardens are just a little ways away over to the west.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you got the zoo, the rose garden, and the Japanese garden. So it's a big nice park. but Shore Acres has a beautiful English garden, and it also has a rose garden. It's not as big, but it's very attractive. And what surprised me about the Shore Acres garden, there it is on the coast, wet, foggy, all the time, and roses like sun, right?
Right.
Well, we visited it, one July, and the roses were absolutely gorgeous. There was no diseases, there was no bad leaves, they were all in bloom, and I thought, this is amazing. Here they are on the coast, where... it's not really rose weather, but they were gorgeous, and the whole garden is gorgeous, and it's worth a trip to see. But you know, there's a lot of those kinds of things where people just walk and get ideas. Or you're walking down the street and your neighbor has 20 rose bushes around. Stop and talk to them. Hey, what's that? How do you do that? How do you plant that? Where do you get that? How big does it grow? And the neighbors, people who garden are mostly friendly people.
Yeah, they want to talk about their plants.
Yes, they do. They do. We got a break?
We do.
Okay.
Here we go. One more break, and we'll be right back. News Radio 1240, KQEN. One more break after this.
Oh, yeah, right. I was wondering. We ran out of time already?
No.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And not only that, our telephone is working today.
Oh, is we another call?
No, but you want to tell them what the number is?
Oh, 673-4464. You thought I forgot, didn't you?
I did. You had that what look on your face?
Yeah, well, I got it tattooed on my wrist. So.
There you go. That's a good place for it.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, I'm talking about roses and different types of roses and a little bit of history on roses. And, you know, there are tree roses, you know, actual a long stem, maybe a 4 foot tall stem, and has like a shrub rose on grafted to the top. And they are grafted material. They don't grow naturally that way. They naturally have many, many limbs and branches and things like that. But the grafters in the rose world, they get a good stem from, I don't know what type of rose, because I've never grafted anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have this rounded, beautiful rose on top. And like I said, the stem or the trunk, whatever you want to call it, is about 4 feet tall, maybe a little bit longer. And there's some that they make bigger on purpose. But they require a little more care than like a rose bush, in that they need to be pruned on a fairly regular basis to keep the tree shape. And for the top of the tree, if you didn't prune it, and you've got the stem's not that thick, it's maybe an inch and a half in diameter, and you got this wild rosebush on top growing like 100 miles an hour, you know, if it gets too big, it's going to weaken and break the stem.
Sure.
That's why you got to have a little more care and pay attention to it, and keep it kind of tight and keep it small in proportion to the stem. After a few years in the ground, when the stem gains diameter and gets stronger, I mean, you can obviously let the top
let
of that,
go,
that the tree rose grow.
Yeah.
But they're kind of neat. I've seen some older ones that are really, really mature and beautiful. And like I say, you got to keep on top of the pruning. And if you're going to do something like that, just get a rose expert who actually takes care of those things and let them show you or tell you.
Somebody that knows what they're
talking
about.
Somebody that really knows what they're talking about. Because we have a few tree roses at the nursery, but I don't mess with them at all. I just kind of ignore them. You know, I don't know why.
And they probably still do okay.
Yeah, they do okay. You know, in spite of me, they do they do really good. Oh, gosh. But, you know, for the first two or three years, you got to keep that top in balance with the trunk, and then you're good to go. The top graft is the problem. It's not the problem. It's the challenge, and you just have to keep the balance correctly. If you see, you know, you get a rose in it all, and it's a tree rose, and maybe you didn't stake it, and we get one of those freak winds that comes along. Well, you got all that weight on top, and if it's not fully rooted, then it could lean a little bit. So sometimes it's good to stake them too, just to keep them straight and. Because every time they wiggle loose, say from wind or snow or whatever, it loosens the root structure as well. It has some tearing.
That's not good.
No, it has some tearing effect and kind of messes up. Then you got the other end of the spectrum is the mini roses that I was talking about earlier in the show.
Those are the almost ground cover, you said?
Well, there's some that are almost ground cover, and then like the next, there's a couple of categories. I call them mini roses. I mean, there are miniature roses, and then there's the ground cover type, and I think there's another one right in the middle, but I don't know.
Another stage.
Yeah, there's another stage there. I'm not a rose expert by any stretch of the imagination. I just like them. But the mini roses do well in rock gardens. Let's say you got your sidewalk coming to your house and your lawn won't grow worth beans and you're tired of looking at that dead grass. Well, and it's maybe a 10 by 15 spot or something like that. Well, shoot, make a rock garden out of it. Make a nice entry out of it. Mound it up with some soil, put some boulders in there, and then fill it with mini roses or something along those lines. And then maybe some evergreen ground cover to kind of creep around in the wintertime so it's not totally naked and bare.
Protection.
And it looks good. And you can do that same kind of thing on a back patio. You got a back patio there and you got a green lawn. You're tired of mowing and fertilizing and all that kind of stuff. Well, change the landscape. put a mini rose garden out there.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. With a water feature with some water trickling mm-hmm. around, a lot of color, and it's a nice place to relax. It's yeah. a nice place to, you know, hey, it's pretty, smells good, and I don't have to mow it every week.
No, you still know? Have a barbecue on the patio.
Exactly, and you got a barbecue, and you know, it's that's the thing. We've got our homes. We need... I've tried to stress over the years that how do I make my home almost like a vacation place? In other words, I want to go home. I like my home. I really do. I'm isolated out in the boondocks, but still, you know, I got my bonsais on my sure. wall there, and I've got my water water pool I built years ago, and Japanese maples surrounding it. Mm-hmm. And on a hot summer day, you sit there. I got a little back deck about the big as this room. Maybe, yeah, it's about as big as this room. And the back deck is just quiet. Ain't nothing there. And the water, I've got these pillars where the water comes out and drops down into the pool.
Yeah.
Hey, good place to relax. Good place to get
nothing
your head,
better.
Head together, and it's cool because there's some shade trees mm-hmm. by the creek. And when you create that kind of thing at your own home, it's a pleasure to go home.
Sure.
It's a pleasure to sit there and unwind and, you know, drink your favorite beverage and
make
and,
the world go away.
Exactly. Make the world go away for at least 12 hours or
yes.
so before you have
well
to
well worth it.
Before you have to go out there and grind away
again.
Yeah. Yeah. But roses, you know, like I say, that, and I've got some mini roses back there, too. And the problem is I planted some other things around it. I've got an outdoor year-round fuchsia out there. I kind of crowded it up a little bit because I wanted a big display of color. Mm-hmm. So the rose blooms, it's kind of a, oh, it's about the size of maybe a little bit bigger than a diameter of a quarter.
Oh.
And it's bright, hot orange. Really, really.
Can't miss it.
No, you can't miss that, dude. And there's a Japanese maple right behind that with a red leaf. And then I got this wild fuchsia that comes up. It dies down in the winter and comes up every year.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's a lot.
That's my kind of shrubbery or whatever.
Yeah, and there's no care practically. You know, yeah. I water them in the summertime maybe twice a week, you know, and that's
yeah.
about it. And I got this retaining wall. That's where I got all my bonsai dishes. I got about, 20, 25 of them probably in there under construction, if you will. And they're my private collection. Excuse me. They're my private collection. I don't take them to the nursery to sell them. These are old. Really cool,
oh, wow.
You know,
yeah,
look good,
yeah.
And they were gifts from other people mm-hmm. that said, hey, Mike, I don't know, I don't want this anymore. Would you like to have it? You betcha, I'll take it.
Well, yeah.
But that's what we need to do with our homes. That's what we need to do with our backyard. Make it a place where, you know, that's your private little area, mm-hmm. and don't bug me when I'm sitting on my patio reading a book and or taking a nap. Leave me alone. I you know. But the mini roses make great container plants to put on the deck or in the ground on a mound or something like that. And most rose plantings, they give accent when planted with like evergreen shrubs in the background. So here's your backyard. Maybe you got a strip of lawn and you got a mounded area in the back corner, and you've got some rhododendrons and some azaleas, and you know, those are the background plants. Well, when you put roses and things like that in the front of them, it really enhances. When you get contrast like that, you've got a beautiful evergreen background, and then you've got all these beautiful color roses in the foreground. You know, that's a pleasant, easy thing. Both of those plants, rhodies, azaleas, and roses, they're easy to take care of. They're easy to keep alive. You don't have to babysit them or anything like
that.
They
like each other.
They like each other. They do well together, and it's beautiful. So
yeah.
So why get so fussy that you have to work 6 hours a day keeping your yard blooming? And
you got to have time to enjoy it.
Yeah, you do. You got to sit down there and do that. But the contrast, I like, and when I do landscapes for people, and we talk about, you know, what they want, what they want to achieve, and then I say, well, how about if we have that evergreen there, but then we put a more colorful plant in between each of those, and explain why, and they catch on, and then when it's done, they love it.
They like it.
They
yeah.
like it. They say, wow, this is more than what I expected, and that's hey, good, mission accomplished. It's more than they expected.
Cool.
Yeah.
Should we take a break? Last
yeah,
break?
Yeah, okay, last break.
Our last break.
Last break at the OK Corral.
Once again, we'll be back couple of minutes with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Also taking your phone call, 673-4464.
Very good, Dale. Very good.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Oh, we just have too much fun.
I know. I enjoyed this. I hope everybody listening out there enjoys it half as much as I do.
This is the Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, by the way.
Yeah, by the way, it is. And sometimes we get off track, but we get right back on quick.
We get into the weeds, so to speak.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. I like that. We'll have to remember that. But talking about roses today, and as we're talking, I'm going, geez, Liz, I'm going to have to do this next week just to finish up with my notes that I have, because I got a whole book on things I wanted to, I didn't want to rewrite them and take notes, so I just brought the book. But remember this, roses are sun lovers. You know, they like sun. They need the sun. They do their best in the sun. They bloom better in the sun. So don't plant them in a lot of shade, or your blooms are going to be in short supply and small in size. I mean, they'll live, but they won't be the spectacular thing that I've been talking about, you know. So, and remember this too: roses need good drainage, so your soil mix should have a lot of organic material to mix in with your native soil. Remember, of course, heavy clay should be removed and replaced with like topsoil or sand, along with some bark mulch or potting soil or peat moss or something like that to ensure good drainage. They like the moisture, but. And I saw one article or blurb that says, well, roses love water. No, they don't. They'll use it, but they don't love it. You can overwater a rose just like you can overwater something else.
Yeah.
But, you know, fine grind bark is like a great soil amendment. And when you mix it in, you know, those roots grow really good. But there's a few things here that you can do for your new rose bush. And, and for instance, the mulch keeps the soil loose and prevents the soil from getting hard and crusty.
So it can grow easier.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, sometimes people use a native soil in their yard, and then they put the plant in
and they pack it down,
right. Yeah. And they wonder, well, why isn't the water penetrating? Well, you just packed it down, and it ain't working. But with a little bit of bark mulch or peat moss or organic material mixed in, the compaction isn't as great, and the water will penetrate. The air will
break
penetrate.
It up, so to speak.
Exactly, and so when you use that, it just keeps that that soil, you know, from getting hard, crusty, and keeps the oxygen flowing. Number two, mulch and that kind of thing helps control the weeds, and with mulch, it's easier to pull. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And it retains the soil moisture even on hot days. You know, on a hot day, you look at that bark mulch and look bone dry, but you know what? You scrape back about an inch or two and it's moist.
It's
still got moisture in it, so that's why it's good. Soil temperature stays more even. It's not like, you know, rocks. People put a lot of rocks in their yard because they don't want to remulch every 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. So they put rocks in there, and I've done a few jobs. That's what people want. Okay. but that rock, when the summer sun hits that rock, it cooks it. And then when the sun goes down, it's still hot.
It still retains
and,
it.
It retains that heat, whereas mulch would cool off.
Yeah.
And that's what plants need. And mulch, you know, retains, like I say, soil moisture even on hot days. And the soil temperature stays more even in the winter and the summer. In other words, if you've got a freezing conditions, the coldest will penetrate the mulch, but down at the root zone, there's insulation is what it acts like. And then on the hot days, like I said, it's still cooler. So it's a good thing there. And as the mulch breaks down, it adds more humus, and the roots grow easier, more quickly in a mulching soil mix. And mulch looks good. I mean, you know, it's neat and clean.
Yeah.
And
I don't think the cats will get in it.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes they do. I don't know.
Little slivers in their paws.
Yeah, they don't like the slivers. but you know, and I've talked about this 100 times at least, but you should use mulch in all of your plantings, you know, not just with roses, but roses seem to really respond well to it. Now, after your roses are established, you know, regular fertilizing is important, of course, for their general health and for their flower production. You know, they got to eat. And it's not just a once-a-year thing with what's on sale, okay? Good quality fertilizer produces quality roses. Regular feeding like spring, summer, and fall with a granular rose food, slow-release rose food or something like that, does an excellent job. They'll continue to bloom. They'll continue to push more buds. You want a bouquet, you cut off all the roses, and a week later there's more buds and more roses, you know. The more you cut them, the more they bloom.
The more they like it.
The more they like it, exactly. That's their thing. That's what they do, you know. And so, you know, regular fertilizing, you know, once in the spring, a little bit in the early summer, and then again in the fall. So it's got a consistent feeding.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to go through starvation periods or anything like that. And and in between, you can put a shot of liquid fertilizer in there, you know, like Peter's Triple 20. It's a blue powder you mix with water, and you can pour it right in there if the any plant is looking a little peaked, and you think, well, maybe it needs some fertilizer, but the granular fertilizer is going to take a week to get down into the roots. Well, you mix up a batch of this liquid stuff, pour it in, it gets right into the roots.
Does the job.
It's like a Snickers bar, boy. Bang. Ooh, yeah, we're growing. We're good.
Drano, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right into the root system, and that plant picks it up. And you know, sometimes you got to give your, you know, the little rose I was talking about and the fuchsia and all that. I give that a little bit of that extra stuff, you know. I'll have a half a jug left at the nursery. I'll just take it home and, you know, pour it in there. And if they're looking kind of peaked in July when it's been hot, like the next day they look good. You know, it's like
that 20. Quick.
Yeah, that quick. 24 hours, they look better, and they continue to look better. And if you do that like once every 10 days or so, they look really great all the time. So.
You can't. It wouldn't hurt them to...
No. Unless, now, I have tried to kill them, you know, experimenting.
Right.
Well, how much can this plant take? And the directions on most of the stuff is 2 tablespoons of the dry stuff mixed with a gallon of water. Well, I've gone up to as high as 5 and 6 heaping tablespoons just to see. And the mixture is bright blue. And you put it around
like
there.
Like syrup.
And, yeah, almost. And the leaves almost pop off into orbit, you know. You know, it kind of goes through a little bit of rough territory. But I'm trying to find out what are the limits.
Limits,
you know,
right.
If I really mess this up, what are the limits where I'll kill it? And I don't want to kill them. I'm just kind of pushing the envelope, if you will.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That we're done already.
I've got more stuff. I didn't even talk about the diseases. I'm talking about diseases next week.
All right. We'll save it for next week.
All right. We will.
And in Winston, where are you located?
We are located on Highway 99 across the bridge headed toward Dillard. And we're the second nursery on the left. And we have big green roofs, and it says Wintergreen. You can't miss us. And we got beautiful plants, wonderful people, and we'll answer any question you have.
Good enough.